Okay, greetings and welcome to this channeling session on the night of March the 10th or 11th, 1995.
Seven. We're in a time warp here. One day back, 2 years ago.
Frank. Which I won't translate.
Well, we probably got one from that day.
Yes, if you insist. Okay, now let's get down to business.
Okay. All right.
Welcome to this channeling session on March the 11th, 1997 at 8:15 p.m. Okay. Let us continue.
All right. Anyway, this is in attendance, Russ and Karen.
Mm-hmm. And Tia.
And Tia. Of course.
Frank.
All righty. Now then, one of the things I want to go over here is the future and possible futures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I was discussing with someone about Japanese feudal society.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to the European feudal society back in the early or the late Dark Ages,
mm-hmm.
coming up into the Arthurian Age. And the Japanese feudal system in the Shogun era.
Mm-hmm.
And the differences between the two are not that many. They're quite similar in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if the future is a or the past is a possible reflection upon our future there.
Well, things do go in cycles.
Correct.
And the cycles can be very, very big or very, very small. Fashion, for example, I've noticed on your planet goes in circles. I believe polyester suits and disco are making a comeback.
Bell bottoms never made it back.
But that's very fortuitous, isn't it?
I never missed it.
So, why not history? And in fact, history does go in cycles. Much bigger cycles. Let us go back approximately 2,000 years, where you had... Now, let's go back nearly 3,000 years to a democratic society, which would be where, Russ?
Democratic society 2,000 years ago?
Well, nearly 3,000 years ago.
3,000 years ago would be... Greece.
Correct. And let's compare it with the opulent society and a democratic society that you have now.
Okay.
You have this democratic country mm-hmm. with lots of states and city-states that send people to their capital as a way of paying tribute to the democratic system. Eventually, it grows and it gets corrupted and it falls to pieces and it becomes history. Along comes another society, which is slightly feudalistic, but still has a Senate and a House and is still democratic to a certain extent, being the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That grows opulent and then corrupted and fat and bloated and all that entails. And it has a leader that becomes the emperor of the empire. And then that passes away. There is a complete circle there. You go from a society that was feudalistic, that becomes a democracy. It fades away, and along comes a new one. And the circle is completed. Now, with a crash like that happened at the end of the Roman Empire, they descended into what they called the Dark Ages, correct?
Correct.
Now, I'm being coached here. The Dark Ages followed, where there was literacy went to the thingy, and you had a period of struggle and strife, and so on. And then you had a new emperor arrive and become leader, and you maintain the feudalistic type of society. Now, it's possible that you've gone into the democracy stage, right?
Right.
And it may be a bigger, longer loop than the last one.
Okay. Now, all of this stems back from originally Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it would be Sirius, because we see that same situation now with the democratic society of Greece in place in Sirius, with the council and, you know, its leader of the council.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they have reached the utopia that the settlers of Atlantis were attempting to create.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of creating the utopia they wished, I'm sure that Atlantis, we could see similar signs of it in now, where they had a democratic stage, mm-hmm. of which Maxis and Naxos were a part of.
Correct.
Which we've already seen examples of.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the corruption stage, which we saw with basically the technology and the religions,
mm-hmm.
Coming and clashing. And then we see the final destruction of Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
with the Dark Ages to follow, being circled into Greece, where we start the whole cycle again.
Correct, pretty much so.
Okay.
But with, I'm not really the person to ask this. I mean, it does fit in with my prediction.
Well, we're working on future, and you're the person, mm-hmm. I talk to on future.
But
we're just kind of skipping around from past and trying to find circles. So we're kind of going to, it's kind of a joint effort here, I think.
Yeah. But it's more going to be along the lines of all three of us land.
Okay.
At this point. Now, the future is set by certain factors that are going to occur.
Correct.
In the past, it was warfare that destroyed the empires.
Correct.
In today's global society, I think it's going to be more social and economic problems that are going to destroy the empires. Mm. And I'm not referring to the countries as empires, but of corporations, such as, let me see, the Hanson Corporation, one of the biggest on the planet.
I've never heard of it.
It owns quite a few businesses, believe you me.
Okay.
Now, let us take one of these big, fine corporations, right?
Okay.
And let's say the corporation goes bankrupt.
All
right. And a corporation that has offices all over the world. What would happen in, let's say, your country if the Hanson Corporation, that has major offices, is in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, Dallas, Miami, and probably a few other places. Let's say it went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
How would it affect your country?
Well, not very much, because there would be a power vacuum. There'd be other companies stepping in to take up the slack.
But for a brief moment, there would be problems.
Yeah. For a brief moment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a week or so.
Mm. Depends on,
you know, now, here's
how
the
much
problem.
Preparation time there is.
Here's the problem. See, the Hanson Corporation is a big, big investor in financial institutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back to that and say, let's say it goes bankrupt or it falls to pieces and dissolves. What happens then?
People in the
country. Mm-hmm, exactly. People sell out of the Hanson Corporation and the Dow goes down. And the effect that has on corporations, it is part owners in American Airlines. Well, not part owners, but part investor in American Airlines. It is part investor in Boeing. It is a part investor in IBM. It is a part investor in, no, not Mobil, not BP, Shell. It's a part owner in exon. It is a part owner in Macy's, Safeway, or part investor. All those comments are part investors. Goes bankrupt. We've just affected every facet of life.
Affected, but unless there was a domino effect from that, which is theoretically possible.
Oh, very possible.
Then it would only be a minimal effect. Mm-hmm. In scenario A.
Correct. Now, let us say that the Hansen Corporation takes another... Let's say there's an attempt at hostile takeover.
Okay.
Let's say from something like Linford Corporation.
Okay.
Now, better yet, Westinghouse.
All right.
Okay? And they fight it out, and both corporations bankrupt themselves fighting it out.
They couldn't fight each other out or bankrupt each other out.
Why not?
Because of the fact that the money involved are not their own monies, but they're involved from the investor's point of view. So mm-hmm. the investors would have to agree to take the chance to go bankrupt, and investors don't tend to do that.
And they tend to pull out when that threat happens.
Right.
And in turn, they make the corporation go bankrupt. They don't go bankrupt, the investors. The corporations do. The corporations crash, and...
Well, that clears it up.
Okay. Now, let us sidestep a little from the corporation issue. Look at inflation. In the past 6 years, inflation has been climbing steadily and unnoticed. At the moment, I believe it's at 6%, which is supposedly acceptable. But if you look back in history to 1988, when there was the crash, right? Mm-hmm. That was caused by inflation. But the root cause of the crash back then has not been properly addressed due to the fact that nobody on your planet really understands what caused the increase in inflation.
Well, we didn't realize it was a crash until like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But it was only a mini crash compared to what could happen. But if you look at the mini crash of 88, the Dow was going crazy, setting new records on a daily basis, which has similarities to 1929 and all other crashes before that. And what actually happens is on profit-taking days, right,
mm-hmm.
people expect to pull out their money, and it's normally towards the end of the week, to make a profit so that they can reinvest at a depressed rate on Monday morning. Now, let us idly suppose that factors occurring in an economic governmental body causes problems. See, this is exactly what the stock market likes. The government is tied up fighting itself. They want public inquiries. They want to know what's going on. And for the stock market, this is great. Ideal situation to grow. But what happens when all this settles down and the government starts to work again properly? They see that inflation has gone haywire, so they try to curb inflation and to stop growth and to slow things down. And bing, stock market goes crash, corporations go bankrupt, companies go bankrupt, investors go bankrupt, and you have 1929 all over again, but on a much larger scale. Because this time, it's not just a country economic catastrophe. And at the time, barely a world power. This time, it's international because corporations are invested in corporations from overseas, from all over the place. So the corporations involved in overseas affairs that go bankrupt cause a drain on the economies of other countries which in turn dominates. So the thing to watch out for is the government getting active again. Pray that this governmental debacle continues, because when it doesn't, and when it gets back to normality, or their definition of normality, and they see that inflation has increased to, let's say, 8 or 9%, they want to decrease inflation and interfere, overbalance. Overbalances force people to withdraw from the stock market. Stock market gets depressed. Corporations suffer. Corporations suffer overseas, and so on.
Okay. Good morning, Simon.
So, let's hope that it continues.
We'll keep a happy thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's go through a couple of extra speakers tonight, because she's kind of on a tight schedule.
Okay. Okay. I suppose you want to talk to our mom, then.
Gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll be back with you in a little while.
Yes, I'll be back. I'm ringing mistress.
Okay.
Let me get my whipping chair.
Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Karen. Greetings, Russ.
Greetings, Amal. All right. Well, that was a cheery little note from Tia.
Yes, she is a ray of sunshine. It amazes me that she manages to maintain a bouncy, bubbly personality when she gives gloomy information.
Yeah, it leaves me kind of going, All right. Currently, well, I'm working a little bit on, as I was mentioning, the past. And who would I work on with that? Would that be yourself?
Myself or Corton?
And Corton's not here tonight.
Correct.
So we'll work on it with you.
Okay.
Okay, so we saw, as we mentioned, Atlantis leading him to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the only time from Greece till now, Greece-Roman, Dark Ages to now that we've seen the cycle happen?
No.
And what was the one between that then?
Well, there are certain cultures that, even though they have a king or an emperor, have a democratic system. For example, Charlemagne in 801.
Mm-hmm.
He had a feudalistic society with democratic leanings.
Hmm. Okay.
Let us move on to the British Commonwealth and the British Empire. They had a democratic system, sort of, that was a emperor or king or queen or empress that ruled over the country but had representatives from the people. And that started in about 1600. Let us shop around again in the Orient. India had a semi-democratic system. Democratic societies are not new. They can be traced back through thousands of years through elected individuals that act on a lifetime capacity. Yes.
I was going to say, so essentially what we're looking at is each person trying to recreate what we came to this planet for in the first place.
Correct. The ideal utopia.
Correct. It's in our genes as a built-in program.
Yes. It is something that was set in motion many thousands of years ago. It was deduced at the time of the failing of Atlantis that it would not have worked at all on your planet with the group of individuals that had come.
Oh.
Admittedly, that they were a bunch of religious dissidences that wanted freedom and political dissidences. And they wanted to create the ideal society. But the lesson that they did not learn was all they had to do was wait on their home planet. They were impatient. Imperfect and not ready for what was to come. So they tried to create their version of it, knowing that it was to come, on a planet that was young and new in their opinion. It did not have the rigid structure that was necessary for the advancement. A society that has a rigid system of classes has a far better chance of an economic and spiritual development. You take the United Kingdom or any country in Europe, including Japan. Look at their feudalistic society and how it shaped their current society. The ideal society to look at would not be so much as the United Kingdom as Japan. But you can compare both of them as they are equally alike to give you an idea on how things should work. You have a feudal society where you have the emperor. The emperor has his ministers, and their ministers have the lords that control the land. Together, they work together and create a society where everybody knows their place. A few hundred years pass, the start of the 20th century, and a democracy with a hereditary emperor or king or queen is in existence with a democratic system. The monarchy or emperor is a figurehead in essence, that they have the power to veto only if it is absolutely necessary. It is their government, but the government controls how much they receive. So therefore, they do as the government says. The people in the society understand their places and how it works. It is like your internal combustion engine. Each part plays an important part in the functioning of the engine, from the spark plug to the wiring that gives the electrical ignition, to the oil that keeps the engine lubricated, to the cooling system that keeps it cool so it does not overheat. Everything has an important part to play. And societies are like that. A rigid society has a much better chance of advancing to a spiritual development than a society that has free will and has no clear focus. For example, what is the focus or the goal of your country for the next 100 years?
There is none. Basically just make money and be successful.
What is the goal?
Have fun.
What is the goal of the Japanese society?
It's changing more to our goal, though, now than it used to be.
How about, let us say, Germany?
Since the unification,
mm-hmm.
I'd say that'd be more closer to what we're looking at.
Correct. A society that is rigid and yet has a definite goal on where it wishes to go.
Right.
The development of higher technology to improve the society and the surrounding areas to affect a more easy lifestyle, whereas your country is decided towards making more money,
right,
which is not a goal but a loop.
Right. Now, but we are more spiritually inclined than Germany is.
More spiritually diversified.
Well, the New Age has a bigger following here, let's say.
Yes, but it does not matter if it is a New Age or the Christian religions or old age religions.
Mm-hmm.
It matters on whether the society is focused on a goal. The spirituality comes with that. It is advantageous to have lots of free time and to be able to have the necessary currency to have that free time. But it is also important to have a goal.
So that's why what we're looking at in the future here is one of the keys for gaining that spiritual upliftment.
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. Young lady, do you have a question?
No. It was there, but now it's not.
Do not worry, relax, and feel free to interrupt.
I just had stuff I had to get through real quick for the webpage to put on there.
No, I was just curious. I mean, spiritually, everyone should be more or less in the same wavelength if they're allowing certain thoughts into their head and believing what they're hearing. Am I not right?
I would beg to differ. It is up to the individual to decide where they wish to go with their spirituality. But that is a personal opinion. It works well up here on the base, but we are not a democracy.
You're an autocracy?
We are more autocratic society.
Autocratic society, that's what I mean.
I am the base commander. I make the laws.
It's a good job.
It is a hard job. I envy you having the freedom to wander around, to be dormant when you wish to be dormant, to be able to stand outside in the rain and feel the rain on your face. I envy your freedom and your lack of responsibility.
Now, one thing we mentioned in the webpage recently that I did up was the subject on ego.
Mm-hmm.
And Tia, I believe it was, who was working on me with this, mentioned that yourself, Ashtar, Sananda, Corton, and all of us have an ego, but yours is a super ego.
You have a super ego also.
But what it makes mine different from yours?
Nothing, apart from mine plays more of an important role in who I am. Your super ego is subordinate to your normal ego. With myself, it is reversed. The higher you evolve, the more important the superego becomes. A superego is the inside that tells you that what you have done is good and it feels good. It tells you when you have done something wrong, and makes you feel the wrong. A superego tells you that something is good or bad. It makes you feel the actions, and it makes you feel the rewards. It makes you act in a particular way with the confidence necessary to be a base commander, to be a department head. It gives you that confidence that when you're in your field, as I am, it gives you the tone in your voice. It gives you your mannerisms, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you behave towards others, with respect and deference. It gives you the air that you need to be comfortable and confident.
So, for example, with the lighting at the racetrack, it gave you the confidence to know that that was how it was supposed to be.
And actually, that was an idea that had been discarded by the organizer.
Oh, really?
Due to the fact that he thought it could not be done.
But can't we use that in our everyday lives?
Yes, you can.
I mean, don't we feel like, well, I think I can go climb that mountain, and that's more or less saying that I can, and that's like your superego taking over?
Yes, it is, but you use your superegos occasionally.
So does the superego control you, or you control it?
Both.
It's a pinball game.
That is a third dimensional ego.
I'm sorry.
I see what you mean.
Superego gives you the confidence to concede that somebody is better at something than you and to accept it with confidence, or the confidence to concede that you are better than somebody and they have the opportunity be able to catch you up and you to pay respect and they catch you and in their attempting to try as opposed to putting them down, laughing at them, joking. So it is both of you, if the report that I'm having this that need to learn how to control your egos in this moment.
Well, I did say good job.
And I did almost succeed in just telling him he was better than me and John Wanda.
So I see what you mean. Okay, the superego does play a role. And the key here that we're looking at then is letting it play a more important role.
That is correct. The development on the spiritual level is when the superego comes into play. It is good to be competitive. After all, the example of this recent tribe-based event is a good example of competitive nature. There was nobody standing up and saying, I beat you, I'm better than you. It is all better luck next year. See you next year. Looking forward to racing against you. May the best person win.
Almost like fencing. Etiquette.
Yes, etiquette. Politeness, and it is very important.
Thank you. It's important. Okay. Well, being as I'm sure you're on a schedule and stuff, I'm not going to hold up any more questions on my end.
Thank you. Young lady?
Yes.
Do you have a question?
No. Not that I can think of right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Live long, prosper, and it would not be a channeling session without me saying, I'll be back.
Thank you. Actually, that was the perfect point to leave it on. On the note with superego. I like that. Good point to close it with.
Okay, I'll put on the next place.
Okay, love.
Okay, see you guys in a few.
Bye.
Frank. Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. How's it going to be?
Karen. Karen.
Hi, Karen. Karen. It's a pleasure to meet you, finally, to be able to talk to you with the aid of another voice. If I could talk to you in person, it would be much easier.
I'm sure of it.
And I must apologise for communicating. It still hasn't fully recovered, has it?
I'm still working on it.
Mm-hmm. But I must confess I did interfere in that matter with Omar.
Which one? Speeding up?
No, with the bit concerning the pinball.
Oh.
I did brief him when you brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
It is something that I've tried to tell you to relax about. And do you listen?
Yes. I have relaxed.
After he rubbed it in.
After I had the 11 million, I relaxed really well.
Rasta beat this score. Rasta, I did. Rasta again. Rasta rules. Well, Wolf's at the top with Rasta who?
And that was a perfect list.
That was.
And I learned from her. Thank you, my darling.
Yes, if you insist. But let us move on. We're not here to debate the merits of pinball.
True.
However much he wishes to do so.
No problem. Oh, is Alana coming on the night?
Yes, she will be available.
Okay. All right. Karen here used to be a nurse.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, I do know.
Has a bit of experience in mm-hmm. that field. And so I figured that you guys would.
Yes, we are.
After a while.
Mm-hmm. Military nurse, right? Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I did it right out of high school.
Oh. And for some reason, I was under the impression that you had a military background.
It was the picture.
Well, yeah, that's from an ROTC program that I was in. And became second lieutenant in the Air Force.
Oh.
It's pretty tight.
They're doing what in the Air Force?
I was operations officer and drill team commander.
Oh. Okay, now I understand. For some reason, I was confused. I thought you were a... nurse in the services.
No. To get out of high school, I decided to go to nursing college and nurse that way.
I would say what you would call a battlefield medic in my youth. Well, when I was younger anyway.
It's almost like the flying Nightingale that I was talking about with Mark.
Hmm. Yes, I do understand the Florence Nightingale concept. Myself, I was always been capable of healing. Russ will tell you that my hands up here are constantly warm and I can funnel and focus energy. Hang on, can you put your hand down? Let me just feel the warmth being generated from Mark's hand. Now, when it comes to cuts and scrapes, I can accelerate the process. We have a feline around here that has proven without a shadow of a doubt that a group of minds can heal. He was used as a test case to demonstrate the functions of the healing meta concept. And I don't see him around anywhere at the moment.
He's outside right now.
Prime example of using healing energy. You as a nurse will know that the most powerful healing tool is the mind and the feeling of affection for that purpose and the necessary drive to help to heal.
Right.
And I try to do that in every aspect of my life.
I think there's a lot of compassion that's needed to actually heal.
Yes, it's very important when healing to have the desire. If it is a job, then it is not healing. It is just helping somebody to feel better.
That's it.
And the reward of healing is not any physical rewards. It is the joy of seeing somebody get up and walk away. Even if they don't thank you, the fact that they are mobile and laughing and that they can go on and help somebody else is reward enough. We don't have a currency system up here. I give my services as a medic freely. It is a calling, not a job.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to cost you a couple of thousand here, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes, you're paying for the privilege of being cared for. And in my opinion, that's not good.
Doesn't that affect the healing in itself and the fact that you're having to pay and you're more worried about what's going to cost you than getting better? And won't that kind of hold back the healing process?
I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me to think in a fistful way, which, as I've said in the past, I don't understand.
Well, it's just a concept I just thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I mean, I know I've laid in the hospital myself trying to be healed by doctors, and it's like, boy, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg when I get out. And so, like, I mean, you're just constantly worried on that extent to where you just make yourself sicker or give yourself an ulcer.
That's a strange analogy to what it costs an arm and a leg.
Sorry.
Healers don't do that.
Well.
Which would you like to lose there?
The right and the left. That's like, no, but that's about it. It costs way too much money to get healed here.
Yes, money I do not understand very well.
I mean, if people could actually heal and believe that they're being...
whoever came to you to get healed had to pay you 20 cases of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to heal them, they're worried more about the wine they're going to lose than actually getting healed.
Yes, I do understand. Curie's whispering the concept in my ear. And yes, in actual fact, that does hinder the healing process when you have other worries on your mind. I had a young father in here that his young lady just had a baby and he had broken his arm rock climbing. And he was concerned with the fact that he wouldn't be able to go home and help her with the young baby. So, to ease his suffering, I went and helped. The fact that it speeded up his healing process is the important thing. The fact that I took his worry of Yeah, that he won't be able to go home and cook his wife breakfast or change the diaper while she was off doing her job and so on, because they don't believe in putting a child in a crèche.
Hmm.
So I said, no problem, I will take care of the child for you.
Hmm. Well, you're a wonderful mother.
Really? Well, that's...
Thank you.
I mean, that kind of... yeah, that would really ease a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And that is part of healing. It's not so much setting the splint, stitching the tissue. It is more soothing the spirit, being able to make somebody feel good. A good example is Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, was she ready for her current assignment? She was a very self-centered young lady that had a wonderful boyfriend, but she was not ready for what she has to do.
Right.
Now she's ready. A little bit hurried, but she's ready.
We'll have to get in touch with her and find out more what's going on. Write
her a epistle.
A what?
A letter. Or it is no word.
Paul's epistle.
Okay. Let me... I'll put on the next person.
Okay.
As we are hustling on the time. You have how long?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Put on the last speaker in this cycle.
Okay.
Which will bring us to the end of the tape.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to put on the last person.
Okay.
Or the last person in this part.
All right. Morning, Siri.
Yo, dudes!
That's yeah. Hard.
Oh, I'm fine. What can I do for you guys? Hello, you must be Karen.
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. And you must be never seen before in my life. Who do you think you are? Why are you hitting yourself in the eye?
Hi, Siri. Well, good to see you again after your third place win.
Thank you.
To make you rub it in. See, I thought she did well.
Of course I did well.
What was all that laceration on your arm then?
It's not important. It's the fact that it's the merits of women. Well, coming in third, actually.
Oh, that's a super ego talking.
What, coming in third? It does not matter. It matters the fact that I tried and I succeeded and I came in third.
And that's right.
Where would you
and
come in?
And she made it all the way through.
I would have DNF'd, you know.
Yes, of course you would have DNF'd. You're a miserable, third-dimensional, mortal man.
Thank you. And proud of it, might I add.
Good. Good, 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 good. Now I've rubbed that in.
I feel better?
I feel much better. I felt pretty good as it is anyway. Let me see. The little strawberry blonde. I like her. She looks like fun.
Tara.
Yes.
Yeah, she's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
She has a mind of her own.
That's good. I hope she has a mind of her own.
Yeah, she's not borrowing anybody's right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mark's body doesn't have a mind of its own at the moment.
No, Mark's body is definitely not.
A mind of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's being borrowed.
Yes, so far by 4 people. So, what do you guys want to talk about? That's a very interesting thing that he did to you the other night.
Who did you what? Oh.
Mark.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
When I needed energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I watched with fascination. Couldn't hear anything. All I could was see.
That felt really good.
Mm-hmm. There's some very interesting and entertaining energy patterns. Well, one in particular felt very familiar but old.
On his
One that there's an entity floating around inside the area.
Yeah.
That felt very familiar. And what were you doing sniffing each other's hands?
Well, it was kind of funny because Mark, of course, you know, smokes cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And I smoke as well, not cigars.
Terrible habits.
I know, it's terrible. I'll quit one of these days. But,
don't use Mark's expression of quitting when he finishes breathing.
No. But none of our hands smelled like cigarette smoke. As a matter of fact, Mark smelled like, first it smelled like deer, and then it smelled like flowers, almost like a cologne. And so did mine, and I hadn't even put any on. I thought that was really kind of a strange...
What entities did you have floating around? Deer would be...
Diana and
those two. Okay. Yeah.
That would be the deer and the flowers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the flowers come with Diana. She's one of our hunters.
Doesn't she